The following lecture, titled Directing and Organizing Our Plans and Resources, was recorded Saturday, July the 4th, 1998, at the first annual Leadership Task Force Conference held in Harvey, Illinois. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. And now, Imam Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah. We're going to officially open now, which is it's about 11 o'clock, at 11. I have to return home before prayer, so I'll, after opening, I will return home and come back for prayer. I should be here, inshallah, about 12:40 or so. And then we'll have prayer, the noon prayer, go for prayer here. After the Dhuhr prayer, then we'll meet. And how are we going to do this? Is how we're going to do this. Maybe let's open with prayer first, and then I'll give some explanations. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين. Yes, this day is the 4th of July, huh? I believe it is. This is the 4th. I be in and out and up and down, in the air and on the ground so much until I have to ask where I am half the time. Sometimes I be at home. I say, hey, where am I? No, not quite that bad, but at the hotels that happens. You know, you travel so much, you wake up and think you're at home. Yes. So this is the 4th of July, and I want to have a little something to say about this 4th of July day. And I hope you don't have a problem with us identifying as citizens of the United States of America. If you do, forgive me for hurting your feelings with what I'm about to say. yes. This is a great country, the United States of America, a great country. I wasn't raised to even think of liking this country. I was raised to see this country as evil, as the evil of the devil, the work for the devil. and it was pretty evil, too, when I was a boy. This was an evil country. It was good, but we were feeling the bad, not the good, when I was a boy, until I got to be a grown man. That was the case. In fact, only during the 60s, as you know, great change came about for us in this country. Jim Crow was done away with and everything. But this country was a bad country, and it was an instrument of Satan. It was an instrument of Satan. But it had a good people in it and good power in it, and the life of the country was good. But the racism that was in this country, the power of white supremacy was tolerated and felt not only in the South but in the North. You all know of bad treatment in the South, you were from the South. But I have experienced bad treatment from whites in the North. I personally experienced bad treatment from whites in the North. And I personally put a hurting on a few of them too, in the North. Yes. So I know what this country was, and I know what it is. And I know that now, looking back with the knowledge of the country, how this country was established by the founding fathers, and how the great decent leaders of integrity intended that this nation move forward from the time it was created till now, I know that good force was always there, even during the time of white supremacy influence in this country. I know now that good influence was there, and that this country was an evolving country. This country was a growing country. This country was a living, organic idea, growing to reach its destiny. And we believe that it has reached its destiny now. To me, that's the real independence, you know. Independence, 4th of July, that's what I'm talking about, that's what I'm dressing on, 4th of July. This independence that we celebrate on the 4th of July with fireworks, it's more than just fireworks and eating hot dogs, barbecuing, you know, and picnicking and playing baseball or whatever. It's more than that. That's the life of the American people as we see it, you know, apple pie and hot dogs and all that and playing baseball. That's America. So that's why that's so strongly in the picture of the celebration, of the celebration. But if you think on what the word says, independence. Now, does this mean independence from the old world government, independence from England, independence from Britain? Is that what it is? Yes, it's that, but it's much more than that. Is it the freedom of the 13 colonies, or 13 states, pardon me? Is that what it is? Yes, but more than that. The day that has been chosen for this celebration is the fourth day of July. So this is a freedom for every person, for the common person. And that's the real freedom that America stands for, the freedom of the individual. The right of the individual to have his life under God and to have freedom of choice to choose the career he wants or she wants, and to choose the religion that he or she wants, and to be free to enjoy all the benefits of citizenship with every other citizen of the country. This is the real freedom. So the real freedom is the individual freedom. This is a personal freedom. This is an individual freedom. I strongly believe in that freedom. I believe that Allah intended for us to have that freedom when he revealed the Quran to Muhammad, and for the world, that book, that holy book we call the Quran. I believe that he intended for us to have that freedom. The word freedom is hur in Arabic. Hurran. Hurran is freedom. Hurran is freedom. In the Quran, this is a common freedom. Huriya, freedom. This is a common language, common term. This is not a symbolic term. This is a common term. This is a language of the common people. They know that. And this common term is in the Quran. And Prophet Muhammad says, he says, I am a free man in this town. Hurum bihad al-barak. I am a free man in this town. So that wouldn't be there if that freedom wasn't very important. It's in our scripture. I don't think it's in them. I've read the Bible twice thoroughly, and I read occasionally now parts of it. And I don't recall any statement where a prophet or a great leader said, I am a free person here in this town. It means in this system. The town has its own political system. So he said, under this political system, or in this political system, I am a free man. So to me, that's a declaration for all of us to follow the prophet in aspiring to be free people in wherever we live, in whatever town we live or exist in. So we are in this country, and thank God, this country, it was founded for freedom. It was founded so people could be free to choose the life they want to live under the government or under a system that's established to protect their rights, their freedom and their rights. That's the purpose of it. It's established to protect the freedom and rights of the citizen, of the individual citizen. That's the government. The government is not established to make war. It makes war to fulfill its obligation to its citizens, to guarantee security, to give them defense so they feel secure. So we pay for defense for our own security. It's not really government. Government is only service. That's how we're supposed to see government. Government is service. The whole government is created just for service, to serve the citizens of the country and the people. That's the real reality, or the real cause. The real cause is the people themselves. And a way of life have been envisioned or perceived for those people by great visionaries, by great men of vision. And we have that idea. We call it freedom in America, the democratic way. And we celebrate on the 4th of July, its independence. The July itself is significant because it's the seventh month. The seventh month. It has a significant number, seven. And God says in the Quran, and there are seven tracks above you and a like number within yourself. Seven with above and seven within yourself. Yes. And we understand that to mean that the same spiritual nature we have to ascend to great heights with our human life, to achieve great things, to have great vision, to rise to great vision, that same ability that we have in ourselves is also above us. And how is it above us? It is above the common man in the leaders that God chose for him. Because we know that Muhammad, the prophet, was taking on a vision. He was taking on a night vision. And in that night vision, he traveled to seven heavens. And he met prophets on all seven levels. So we don't have to look to Walt Disney to find the answer to the seven. It's in the Quran. The answer to the seven is in the Quran. That you have seven above you and seven in you. It means simply that you have the ability, the capacity, you have the potential to rise to great heights. It's in you. Maybe not realized, but God put it in every person. It's in the common person. He put that power in you. It's in the common person. We look above in the heavens and we see the prophets in the heavens. And they represent the seven heavens. In their ascension, they have ascended to the seven heavens. And Abraham is seen at the top of that. He's the most elevated of all the prophets in the seven heavens. And Muhammad, he was living. And God blessed him to visit the seven heavens while he lived. He visited the seven heavens while he lived. And this great leader, extending the millah of Abraham, the prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, he's continuing that millah of Abraham. And the millah, they say order, they translated order of Abraham in the Quran. But millah comes from a word that means to hope, to have hope. It's aspirations, your hope, your aim. It's the hope of Abraham, the millah. And Prophet Muhammad says to us that this millah is the millah of Abraham. He didn't claim he had a new millah. He said, this millah, the God revealed to him that this is millah, is a millah of Abraham, the upright in his nature, Abraham. So this is the millah. And he was blessed to visit the seven heavens, even to greet Abraham in the highest of the heavens while he was living. Not after death, No, while he was living, he visited and greeted them one after another from the first level Adam to the highest level Abraham. He greeted them, peace be upon you. And he greeted Abraham. He said, peace be upon you, Father Abraham. He greeted him, his father. And as he had greeted Adam on the first level, peace be upon you, Father Adam. And he greeted his brothers, Jesus Christ and all of them. Peace be upon you. He said to them, my brother, so and so and so. Peace be upon the prophets and Abraham. Peace be upon you, Father Abraham. And he led them all in prayer. Then he led them all in prayer. Which shows that he was the leader that will connect all of them. He was the leader that will connect all of them, and God will give him the universal message that brings to the people the essence of all the great prophets' teachings. The essence of all the teachings of the great prophets given to us in that small book, Quran. Yes. And Muhammad, the universal leader, reconciling the prophets with each other, and reconciling the common man with the noble life that God created him for. To say it is one and the same. And God says, say to them, I am a mortal just like you. And he said it. I am a mortal just like you. That's what he said. Muhammad the prophet. Meaning he had no divine nature. The Gnostic order had come before Prophet Muhammad, had come before the coming of the Quran and Prophet Muhammad, the Gnostic order of the Christians, and they had claimed divinity for their leaders, that in order to be the leader, you had to have the divine spark. Christ is divine, and you have to have the Christ nature and have to be illuminated. You have to be illuminated. You have to have the light, divine light in you. And the proof of the divine light in you was that you separated from this world. And this world did not affect you. You didn't need a woman. You didn't have to have this world. Well, I'm not joking. This is serious. You couldn't marry. You couldn't have marry and have wife and children to belong to that order. You had to be devoted to celibacy. And they were the great leaders in the hierarchy of the religion called the Gnostics. The Gnostics. And they believed that you had to ascend up to the heavens and get the light and the life from the heavens. And then you come back down here, but remain in that form, remain in that state. You have to separate from this world first, and in that spiritual body, you can ascend to the heavens, and with the right discipline in you and faith in you, you will have the divine spark put in you, and then you'll come back down to earth as though you're God. So really, it's not only in that old idea, it's not only Christ Jesus that they saw God in, but the Pope himself was to be like God on earth. He was like some of the great the shadow of God, or God's shadow on earth, you know? Yes, so we know that idea, and it's important to us to have some knowledge of that, because the Quran is addressing that. Islam came to address that, to do away with that darkness, so that the real light could come to us. So it says, Muhammad said, I'm a mortal, just like you. Jesus had said it, but they didn't get it. Jesus said, I in you, and you in me. After he had said that he was in the Father was in him. Then he said, I in you, and you in me. Meaning that we have common nature. That's all he was saying. That we have one common nature, that I'm a common human being, just like you. But he didn't say it quite that clearly, according to the teachings of the gospel. But when Muhammad came, God revealed to him to say, God revealed it to him. This is not a hadith. God said to him, say, I am a mortal just like you. Now, this is important, very important, on the 4th of July. Don't forget, I'm addressing the 4th of July. I'm still addressing the 4th of July. All of this comes under the 4th of July, Independence Day. So when we look at the terms for male and female in the Quran, and I'm happy some sisters are here, because me and the sisters, we gonna do things together. I don't know about you, imams, but I work very well with sisters. And the sisters are some great leaders, brother. We have some great leaders among these sisters. Yes, I just but they're guests, a guest of the women organization in Kansas City. And they have an international now, Muslim women organization. And I didn't understand that when they said international, I thought they were tied in with the women of China or something, you know. But come to find out, they're talking about just Muslims in association with us, and they've attracted some people from from outside of our association too. They have 3 or 4 chapters in Africa. I didn't know that, but I learned this from them. And they're us. They're us. And I mean beautiful sisters doing charity, helping suffering people, helping the senior citizens. They're doing great work. Yes. And they're worried about the gender problem we have among us. And they say, but Brother Imam, can you tell the imams what you're telling us? I say, yes, I'm going to tell them exactly what I'm telling you. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you part of what I was telling them now. I'm about to get to it. Yeah, the Quran, in addressing sex, gender, it uses language that we should understand, especially the leaders, you imams, and you teachers who will be teaching in the Islamic schools, Muslim schools. You should understand this language. You should know this language, because you have to establish Islam in education. You have to Islamize your curriculum, and you have to have Islamic studies as a major part of your curriculum, and I hope we can achieve some. Get some support for that, to unify the curriculum, so that easy transfer of students can be made. No one has to be set back or have difficulty continuing their courses. The courses will be so similar like it is for the public school. You can translate, you can transfer from one elementary school to another, from one high school to another, and you don't have any problem because the curriculum is uniform. And that's what we have to have. We have a school system. It's small. It should be easy for us to make our curriculum uniform. It should be very easy. So we've been asking for this for 15 years now, and we haven't got it yet. So I hope that this occasion here will be an opportunity for you all to make some real progress toward getting the support you need to have a uniform curriculum for Clare Muhammad Schools, and to Islamize those curriculum and have Islamic studies as the life of the whole curriculum. The life of the curriculum should be Islamic studies. Yes, because for Muslim, Islamic knowledge is our life. That's our life. Islamic knowledge is our life. It's not any other knowledge. It's Islamic knowledge. That's our life. And Islamic knowledge makes every other knowledge digestible for us. If Islamic knowledge doesn't approve that knowledge, that other knowledge is not even digestible for us. You see? So this is very serious. It's so serious until I be willing to take 1,000th of the people that we have now with us to where we have to go. That's right. And sacrifice others. Cut them off and let them go their own way. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we have to come to that. But if we have to come to that, I'm more than willing to do that. Yes. Yes. We have to do what we have to do. And this invitation that God has given us to be independent and to be Muslims and Americans is just too good for us to compromise it in any way. No, we're not going to sacrifice any part of it. We're not going to compromise at all. We want the whole thing that God is offering us and nothing less than that. Yes, so the sex agenda is addressed, and God says the male is not like the female. But now listen, the male is not like the female, but what terms are used? Are these common terms used for male and female in the common language of the people who walk the streets and live in the homes? No, this is not common language. This is very, very, very spiritual language. The male is not like the female. The term used for the male is zakish, and the term used for the female is untha. These are not common terms for people who speak language in the streets. So what is this term actually addressing? What is it talking about in the human being? It's talking about the thinking ability, the ability to think and reflect, to think and reflect. And what is this untha in here? What is it talking about? It's talking about the ability to sense. So here you have one ability in the female, the ability to sense. And you have another ability in the male, the ability to think about what is sensed. Now, is this restricted only to male and female? No. How do we know it's not restricted only to female? Can a female also be zakir? Yes, she can. How do we know? The proof is in the Quran. The Quran, the same book where God says the zakir is not like the untha. God says, and the Zakirina, are the Zakirati. The Zakirati, that's the plural for Zakir, referring to the females. And the translators from overseas, they translated, and the women who reflect. God says, the men who reflect, and the women who reflect, making it very clear that this principle that's operating in males more than in females is not exclusively a male property. That there are females having the same property and exercising the same power of intellect. Zakirati. Yes. So now. So here is God saying the male is not like the female. And we may take that to mean, we don't study the language carefully, we may take that to mean just what it's saying, the male is not like the female. And then we later on learned that the term dhakar for the male means, refers to the intellect, the power to think about something and reflect on it and have second thoughts about it. That's what the dhakar is. It's only the power of the feet, of the male and not the female. This, going back to my mention of the Gnostics, this was a problem for the Gnostics. The Gnostics thought that the female was just a flesh. She was the mortal body. She's the mortal body. Sensitive, mortal body. But not having intellect. So they recognized she was unta. But they recognized that she also had the power of Zacchaeus. So God had to produce Jesus from the Mary. But so that the male was in the Mary. Peace be upon her and her son. Yes, you see? And yes, you see, and then it comes to us in the Quran, plain language, comes to us in the Quran. And God says, and he have created you from a male and a female. Not just from a male, from a male and a female. Yes. After saying that they created Adam, and from Adam he produced male and female. Produced from Adam, male and female. Many children, how is that? Rijalin kathiran wa nisa. He produced from them many men and women, came from them. But how did many men and women come? Adam couldn't produce men and women from himself. God had to first make him a mate. And then he made it with his own mate. Then he could reproduce himself. So Adam really couldn't reproduce himself until he had a female. Which shows that in the original entity called the Adam was both male and female. Adam himself was both male and female. Yes, it's clear, very clear, that Adam himself was both male and female. And then the two separated, God separated the two and made them distinctly man and wife, mate for each other. And they made it together, and that was the way possible for them to reproduce themselves. Then they reproduced themselves and had many men and many women all over the world. Yes. So the male is not like the female, but the male is in the female. And this world says that, you know, the female is XX chromosome, and the male is XY. I think it made a big mistake. The male is XXY, and the female is XY. No, I'm just joking. No, that's a joke. What I'm saying, the seriousness is this, that they're both the same. They're both the same. When you're talking about the function of the intellect, soul and intellect, they both are the same. No difference. The only thing makes us different is the biological body, the flesh. The physiology makes us different. This is the flesh body. And the flesh body has this role, its nature, and its role. For the female, she has to bear the children. She's the mother. She carries the new life until it's ready to be delivered, 9 months as we normally expect, and then she delivers a child, and then the Quran says, and the weaning takes 2 years, and she's tied up for 2 years. So her body, her biological body, her physiology has decided that she has to have this nature and this role, this function in the society. The man, during 9 months, he's still free. He's going out. He's free to go out. So he's a big part of her life that's taken away from her and confining her at home is given to him, where he can continue to go out and explore the fields, explore the wilds, discover things. So no wonder he's so above her in terms of his knowledge of the physical environment and his management of the physical environment. He's so far ahead of her because she was held back by her physiology. Yeah. And that's why Allah said in the Quran, and men are the maintainers of women because of their physique, the physical physique that's developed going out in the woods, in the wilds, in the field, because of the physique and because of the accumulation of wealth. That freedom gives us the freedom to accumulate, to amass wealth, to become materially strong, and to develop muscles. Now, if you just stop that, brother, you're going to get soft as she is, and some of you are already like that. You lose all those muscles. You'll become as soft as she is. And I'm talking about she who's still at home taking care of babies. There's some of those she's out there driving those mail trucks and doing other things and working on construction. And that's not the one I'm talking about. That's the one that has become vacant in her biological body. You know, she become male in her biological body. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you become very delicate too if you don't continue to go out and meet the challenges of the field. You become delicate too in your physical body. You become feminine, and your physical strength become feminine. You lose it, and you become feminine like. And if you don't go out there and work, you won't have wealth. Just like so many of our brothers, young youth, they don't have wealth. They haven't amassed anything. They got nothing. So where's your right now to maintain women? You don't have any money. You have nothing but muscles. You're missing 50% of it. And some of you done lost your muscles too. You don't have even one. You don't have anything. You got zero. So where's your right to say you're going to maintain women? You have the authority to sit over women. According to the Quran, you lose that authority once you lose the qualifications for you being in that position. And the qualification is that you have strength, physical strength, and you have wealth. And believe me, that's what that woman's looking for, man. She's looking for some physical strength, because she knows she needs somebody strong enough to push the furniture around and move that refrigerator. She want to wash behind it. She needs somebody to move it, you know. And she shouldn't be doing that, you know. So she needs somebody with physical strength, and she needs somebody with some money to pay the bills. But you don't have any of that. You don't qualify to be over her. Now, this is logic. This is the logic. We respect what God says in the Quran. This is the logic. So, you know, it ain't because you look like a gorilla. That ain't what give you your rights. Yeah, look in the mirror, I'm macho. But where's your money? You know, whatever God has revealed, it's just naturally in human beings. I remember saying, money, honey, get me some money, honey. That woman was singing from the soul that God had put in her. That God gave her that stuff. That man got to have some money, honey. The male is not like the female. That could have went that. Now, let's look. What does Prophet Muhammad say to us? He said, I am a mortal man just like you. Bashar, just like you. Now, we know the Bashar also is male and female. But what is the Bashar talking about? He is a male now that's called the Bashar. That's his male. That's the term for his masculinity, for his masculine nature. He's male Bashar. B-A-S-H-R. And the same word, Bashar, is also given as a title for him, but in a derivative form, derived from Bashar, Bashir. Bashir. Bashir is good news bringer. Good news bringer. Bashirun, a name of the prophet. Not only that prophet, but name of the prophets who brought good news from God. That's a title name for them. Bashirun, the title name for our prophet Muhammad. Bashirun. Bashar. Now what is Bashar talking about? What is this Bashar? What is he talking about? The word Bashar really comes from the outer surface of an organic thing. The peel of an apple comes from the name for that peel of the same word, of the same root, the peel of it. My skin, the outer surface, my skin, that's the same. This is my skin, is also from the same word, although they have different terms for it. But the bashar, the term for the skin will come from the same word, meaning the outer surface. So what is this saying? You know, we feel with the outer surface. We feel. This is where we feel, all over the body. Sensitive. The outer skin is sensitive to feel. That's for our protection. The hair is above that, where there's hair, for our protection. And it's even more sensitive. It goes down and touches the nerves in the skin. So it's even more sensitive. Just touch the hair a little light, you feel it. Animals have the power, the hair power. They have it. So something just touched a little speck that you can't hardly see. Touch the hair of a cat, and he shake his whole skin, shake all of his skin. He knew that something touched the hair. So sensitive. So what is this saying? What is this name now for the male? What is this saying? Sensitive human beings. Sensitive human beings. That's what it's saying. That I'm a sensitive human being just like you. Not just human. Sensitive human. I'm a sensitive human being just like you. What hurts you hurts me. What makes you happy or makes you feel good makes me feel good. That's what he's saying. We have the same nature to register joy and pain, happiness and sadness, etc. And God talks about this in the Quran too, that he is the one who created you with your faculties. He's the one that gives you laughter and tears. This is Allah in the Quran saying this. They're saying he's the one that gave us this sensitive nature. Gave us intelligent faculties, but also gave us this sensitive nature. And both of these are needed. Because you can become so hard in your sensitive. Both scriptures talk about this. How the people become so hardened. They become like rocks. Yeah. Like stones. Stony hearted people. This is in scripture. And God's mentioned the stones in the Quran. And that the hellfire has been prepared to burn up both men and stones. Yes. And we think the stones mean the stones that they're using to breaking up to make gravel or something for the road. Talking about some old men. But those who have lost their human sensitivities and don't have any more human sensitivities, they ain't qualified to be called men. So they're called stones. Men and stones. So this Bashar is very important for this Bashar, that Muhammad is a Bashar like us. And the story of Muhammad, peace be upon him, the story of his longing for understanding and for direction in his life is the story of a man registering the hurt of his people, registering the poverty of his people, and I'm talking about the mental poverty now, registering the mental poverty of his people and the hurt of his people, the division of his people, of people divided against each other. All that burdened his heart so much that he had to leave them and seek exclusion somewhere. And he went to the mount of the Nur, the light, which was not called it at that time, it was just called by another name. And he went to that mountain up in there and found a hole up in the top of the mountain, and he went into that hole, and there he separated himself from the world, and he just asked for help, and God heard him, and God responded to him, for him, and gave him the help. So that's the story of man. So see, this is just how you see the Bashar. Muhammad is Bashar, like us. This is how we understand him as the Bashar. He's a man with human sensitivities, like us. And he's a man who registered the hurt of his people, pain and suffering and poverty of his people, deficiencies of his people. He registered that, the lack of social organization, the lack of social organization. Society was divided, and he wanted to see them as a social unit, organized social body of people, not tribes, but one country and one people. He wanted to see them all together as one family. And he went up there not knowing Bible, not knowing any religion. He went up there, and God responded to him and gave him the first words of the Quran, told him, read. Read in the name of your Lord who created. That's what God told him. And he said, I'm not a reader. I'm not one to read. And God repeated it to him until finally he understood and he received the reading. Or the recitation came to him from God by way of the angel Gabriel. We know the rest of the story. So, you know, it's not enough for us just to hear these things and not make connections. You know, make connections. If Muhammad is a mortal like us, try to make connections. Study the Quran, study the history, make connections, understand what it means that he's a mortal like us. Study this, study the meaning of the Bashar from good dictionaries, or lexicons, or whatever, until you know the meaning of Bashar. And if God is not with you, you're not going to get it all. No, you won't get it all. God has to be with you for you to get it all. But you will get a lot. You will get a lot, and you'll be able to better manage knowledge for yourself and better communicate it to others. Yes, so the male is not like the female. It's talking about the intellect. The whole, the great scene of the creation of man in Scripture, and we are Muslims, so in the Quran, for us in the Quran, is the focus on the human intellect. Why is the focus so strong on the human intellect? Why is the creation of man the creation of his intellect? Because man does not function in any way superior to the animal except through his intellect. Now that's a fact. You say, oh no, his heart, oh, your human heart is no different from a bird's heart. That's the truth. You say, oh, we love and we are more loving. No, you're not. There's some animals just as loving as you and more so. Look how dogs love the master. And look when you when the male or female becomes so crazily in love with the other, how we criticize them. Oh, he follow her around like a little puppy. Like a little puppy. You know, only a dog's supposed to carry love that far. That's what the expression is saying. The only dog supposed to carry love that far. He follow around like a little puppy. So don't think you're more loving than other creatures. No. The only superiority you have, I repeat, over other creatures is your intellect. If that ain't elevated, if that doesn't raise you above the other creatures, you're not above them. You're not above them. I don't care how nice you are. They got some animals out there just as nice. But no animal can produce this mic for me to talk on. See? No animal could do this but the human animal. We the only one that could make this mic so I can speak and so that then the focus should be on the intellect. When God says I'm going to create a man, a Khalifa, and put him in the earth, he's not talking about a mushy, he's talking about an intellect. Yeah, he's talking about an intellect. Because the intellect is what turns the light on, like the sun comes up in the day. In the morning, after it's been dark, sun comes up and light it on. And then we can move about, right? Without stumbling over each other and running into things or killing ourselves. Correct knowledge is the same way. To really reach the goal we want to reach in terms of our own evolution as human beings, the society that God has created us for, the destiny, a destination that God has created for us for, in order to move about in that society and to progress in that society and to have ease of movement in that society for our intellect and our whole life, we have to have the light on. And the light is not the sunlight. The light is the light of intellect. This is a reality. So be very serious about your mind. Be very serious about your intellect. Give special attention to your intellect. Now, we know the soul is very important because the soul is that sense body. Talking about sense and response. The soul is that sense body. And you don't know what to respond to until you sense. Sense is before response. Huh? Yes, sense is before response. We sense and then we respond. We sense and we respond. And God has described us like that in twos. Not threes. Not four, not five, not even the five senses. God says that the human being is, by description, a sense creature and a response creature, a creature that senses and responds. Now, is that anything new for Scripture? No, because let me see this time here. Yes, I'm right out of my time. But we'll make it all right. Because, look, the Scripture before the Quran also gives that, but it gives it. The men sitting and the women crying, you know, attending the man's needs or something. But more than that, it gives us the fish. And the fish life, we can, anybody who has fish, who go fish, or anybody who watch fish in a fish bowl or a container at the aquarium or whatever, if you watch the fish, his movements tell us that he is on the level of sense and response in the physical body. He senses and responds. That's the fish. He senses and responds. So because the fish gives us that picture, depicts to us the sense and response principles in the life, we have that fish in Scripture. Why is the Scripture so important in Scripture? It's for that reason. Fish is so important in Scripture. Moses go out looking for a certain fish. Christ Jesus, peace be upon the prophet, he sent his disciples. He goes and finds his disciples fishing. And that's where he discovered them. And he brings them from the land, from the water, takes them into land. But fishing. Yes. So the fish has a very important place in Scripture. So God comes and tells us in plain language that he has made you male and female. He made you male and female, to sense and respond. What is the matter with them that they don't respond? When they're invited to believe in their Lord. Yes. What is the matter with them that they don't respond? Now this is a question, there's something unusual happening here. God is saying that this is not normal. Now you may think it's normal, but God is saying this is not normal. Say, what is the matter with them? And when they are called, they don't respond. And they are asked to believe in their Lord. It didn't say they are asked to believe in Christ Jesus. Peace be upon him. It says when they are asked to believe in their Lord. So this is giving us really the explanation of Christ Jesus in Christianity. Now here's a man that if you have faith in him, you have salvation. Through him you will have salvation. He's a man. You have faith in him, through him you will have salvation. You don't have to repent your sins one by one or even count them. You don't have to even think about them. Just believe in this man and sins gone. This is Christianity. Right? Yes. So here is a mystery now, a man as a mystery, and faith really as a mystery. Here's the mystery of faith, that just having faith, as the story in the gospel says, that a woman, she touched the hem of his garment. If you all don't mind me without a coat, I don't mind it. I'll just go on home and get a coat. The woman just touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. Just touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. And the Bible says that she was healed because of her faith. She was healed because of her faith. Her faith was so much in him, so great in him, and Christ Jesus, peace be on him, that she touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed of her troubles. Went away. Yes. So here's the Quran telling us, asking us a question, say, what is the matter with you that you don't respond when you're invited to have faith in your Lord? Your Lord. Your Lord. Didn't Jesus say, I and you, you and me? I and you and me? Well, how is this Lord is in me? Well, I'm saying now that the Lord was in Jesus and the Lord is in me. How is this Lord in me? Well, we believe that God is in us, don't we? Yes, because God says that he has put something of his spirit in all of us. So he says he's closer to us than our jugular vein. And the jugular vein is inside the body. not outside. Jugular vein is inside the body. And if God is closer to me than my jugular vein, that means God is even more inside me, deeper inside me than my own jugular vein. That's what it's saying. Okay, so I have to accept then that God is inside me. But now, is the Lord inside me too? Yes, the Lord is inside me too. How is the Lord inside me? The Lord is inside me as the will of God. I have the Spirit of God in me, but also God's will is in everything He created. So God's will is in me too. And God's will is what eventually overcomes my will. So I may want to be a welder. But God says, no, W.D. Muhammad is going to be an imam. So I may weld and feel satisfied with that, but something is going to happen. Because God's will is going to overcome mine. Something is going to happen to take me from welding and put me in a position to be an imam. And that's what happened. That did happen. Yeah. So that did happen to me. So that's my Lord in me. That's the will of God in me, but that's also my Lord in me. Also, my own desire in me to be better. My desire in me to achieve more. In goodness, in righteousness, in justice. That movement in me is also the movement brought about by my Lord. So my Lord is evolving me, isn't he? My Lord is evolving me. My Lord is in me as his will, and my Lord is evolving me. So you're not asked to believe in a God that's not really part of your reality? That's why the question is asked, what's wrong with you that you don't believe in your Lord? We're not asking you to believe in something that's not a part of your own reality. You're asked to believe in something that's a part of your own reality. Your own life forces are supported by this Lord. Your own life forces guided by the Lord. Your excellence is the will of the Lord. And your excellence is the works of the Lord. So how come you don't believe in the Lord when he's working right inside you? Now, I don't know if you understand it as clear as I do, but for me, it's clear enough. For me, it's clear enough. I know that I am myself, and at the same time, I'm supported by my Lord. In this body is my Lord. And my Lord is working with me to get me where my Lord wants me to go. And if I become reconciled with the will of my Lord, oh, buddy, there's no height that I can't reach, no horizon that I can't find, horizon that I can't find. No, no, because everything is possible with the Lord. Praise be to Allah. Yes. So I wish Allahul Haq, talking about the Quran says Allahul Haq. Why is Allah saying that? That Allah is the truth. But the truth in Arabic also means real. Means it's not imaginary, it's not phony, it's not fictitious. It's real. So Al-Haq also means real in Arabic. Says God is real. Why does God say that in the Quran? God is real. And Al-Nar Al-Haq and the hellfire is real. Why does God say that in the Quran to us? Because the common people have been mystified. And they have been fed superstition more than truth and knowledge. They have been fed superstitions. And they take the hellfire to be a mystery, a superstition, that they don't brand superstition. But they take the hellfire to be a superstition. And those who rule over them and have lost the real knowledge, the real guidance, they rule over the masses, believing themselves that what they tell the masses to believe in is really superstition. So they in their own minds, they look at the common people and say, we give them these superstitions and they're governed by them. Hellfire and heaven and God. So we know who's the real God. We know who. Where's heaven? And we know where's the real hell, we know. But we give this to them. These are the deceivers among the religious leaders. These are the deceivers. Yes. So they laugh at us believing in hellfire in the way that we believe in it, common people believe in it. They laugh at us. They don't believe in a hellfire like that. You don't believe in that kind of hellfire. That's for you all. That's a superstition. That's a myth of superstition we gave you. So the Quran comes to tell not only the common people, but it comes to tell those who stand above the common people and think themselves wise and superior to the common people. It comes to tell them, yes, God is real. Allahul Haq. And hellfire is real. And Narul Haq. Yes, hellfire is real. It's the Haq. These are the Haq. It's true. It's reality. It's true. It's reality. And believe me, many of them repented their sins and became Muslims after hearing this knowledge revealed from the Quran to them. They repented their sins and they became Muslims. Yes, okay, I got to watch the time here. 12 o'clock, isn't it? Look at your watch. Yes. Okay. yes. Getting back to our Prophet Muhammad. Our Prophet Muhammad is to be seen as a mortal human being with no divinity and no angel nature. No angel, he's not angel in form, that's what I mean. He's not angel in form, and he's not God in form. He's human in form. And that's to tell us that we don't become better or get closer to God through some angel agent or through some divine agent. It is through our human life, our human nature, and our human abilities that we are able to get close to God. And because of our human nature and human abilities, we can get closer to God and become more useful to God in the created world than even the angels, than even angels themselves. That's why the Bible says that he has raised him up even above an angel. And the Quran says that he has given us a degree above angels. Doesn't mean any of us. It means us who achieve that great excellence of human nature, like Muhammad, the Prophet, and the others. That those who achieve that great excellence of human nature, they are a degree above even angels. Because the angels don't have the power of intellect. So the angels don't serve God in this creation like we do. They can't. They can only assist us. They're really created by God to serve us. To assist us. Oh, well, to assist us, but not to serve us. Well, why did God say to you, make sense of? Not only to help, but to recognize the superiority of man. Told the angels, and make sense of, bow to him. And they all bowed except Iblis, the Satan, who became the devil, the Satan. Yes. So if you know, think five times before you speak. No rush to judgment. Yes. Yes. Praise be to Allah. Yes, so getting back to my point now, I'm going to sum it up. I think I can sum everything up now. We started off with Independence Day. And I've talked to you about Muhammad at length. And I've had to go to Scripture at length. For what reason? So you can see Muhammad better. That's the only reason why. All that talk about Scripture. All that talk about the God in us, the will of God in us, the Lord, our God, our Lord, our Lord God in us, in his will and plan for us. The Lord is the function of God as Lord functions in the human being. That's a function in the human being. And in everything that he has created and evolved. But in us more so. In us more so. Because that reality can dawn in our intellect, as it has already done. It has dawned in the intellect of the great prophets in us now. It has dawned in the intellect, this reality, this real perception of God, also in my workings, in the workings of my own creation. There is the workings of God. And I can see him in the role of Lord in my own perception of my own evolution, of my own progress as a human being trying to be better all the time. How wonderful it is. Yes. Praise be to Allah. And it's because of the body, the way he made this human body. He made this human body to have life and then have intellect, and expression become illuminated. It's a great light created by God, a great light. This is what God has made here. And it's the flesh body that has all of this possibility. It's in my flesh body, this possibility. Myself is in my flesh body. When we come as a germ from our parents, we have ourselves in that germ. And that germ becomes this flesh body. So I am in this flesh body. And I express outside of this flesh body, because of my intellect. I can express my life, myself, beyond the boundaries or the limits of my body. I can communicate myself, and myself can fill books if I'm blessed. Fill books and volumes. What? Yeah. To fill the minds of many people. And I'll be dwelling in the minds of many people and on the pages of many books. And I'll be living it in Asia and all over the world. And if people go to the moon with that perception of me, I'll be living on the moon. Look how my body can extend itself. Life just born here, but created to be expressed beyond the boundaries of even the flesh body that was this womb. Yes. Yes. Praise be to Allah. This is wonderful. You need to reflect on your own creation. Allah says that, why don't you reflect on your own creation? Yes. Praise be to Allah. So if you understand what I'm saying here, you should now have even a better appreciation for the Prophet. For his life, what he is. He's a human being. But that human being has great, great potential. Potential that can take it above even the ranks of angels. Can lift that human being even up a bit above the ranks of angels. This is the scripture, the word of God. So we have Muhammad now, and Muhammad realizing God causing him to realize the great human creation that he is, he can't accept no more to go along with the order of the world that was holding back his potential and the great mission that God had given him. So he said to them, I'm a free man in this town. Meaning I'm a free man under this system. No system has been created to restrict the movement or growth of the human being. No system except the total universe. Because God says, he made the total universe as a field for our cultivation. Yes. Araduha, it says the skies and the earth. The expanse of this field is as the skies and the earth. That's what God said. Yes. So he says that he created the woman as a tilth. That means for you to cultivate, right? And some of you all may think you need to cultivate your wife. But that woman God's talking about is the town you live in, the neighborhood you live in, the town you live in, this earth we live on. That's the woman God talked about when he said he gave it to you as a tilth for you to cultivate, you know? You don't need a revelation to do the cultivation with your wife. You only need monkey sense. And you're gonna have a reproduction. And the white man from the days of white supremacy, he says the black man can't produce nothing but babies. Yeah, so, you know, with Islam, we can have a great harvest of children. With Islam, with knowledge, civilization, right guidance, obedience to God, we can have a great harvest of children from our wives. Yes. But God wants us to see your mate as the creation itself. God created the intellect to mate with the objective world. Yes, He made your intellect to mate with the objective world. And that makes you very productive. When you accept to mate your intellect with the objective world, you become very productive. Very productive. And God then says, and the garden that He promised to them, its width is as the skies and the earth. Meaning that we are not to mate only with this earth, but we are to mate with the total creation of God, the whole universe. Now that white man has done that.
Yes, sir.
We are behind.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we are. Give it to the white man. He did what Allah suggested in the Quran. He has done it. He took the suggestion and he did it. Now he could have gotten it from the Bible. I don't think so, because those visionaries we call the founding fathers, James Madison, may God give him paradise, Thomas Jefferson, and others we can name, is on the record that they didn't only know about Islam, they also read from the Quran. They read from the Quran. So we're talking about people who are in touch with the Quran. And God says that He created the man, the intellect of the human being, male, sister, too, to engage the total creation. And that's what the scholars did in the time of the prophet. After the knowledge came, they engaged the creation. And they became astronomers, leaders in their fields of sciences, philosophy and sciences. This is what we should understand. But Muhammad was too big a man. He knew his reality was too great for him to be under the pagans, for him to be holding back his freedom. So he said, I'm a free man in this town. This is the 4th of July, right? And we celebrate independence. So how can you have freedom and be dependent? Is there any freedom from Allah? No. No. There's no freedom from Allah. not in obedience to Allah. In disobedience, yes. But no freedom from Allah in obedience to Allah, no. I don't want to be free from Allah. I want to be slave of Allah. I'm the abd of God, the slave of God, the servant of God. I don't want to be free from God. But everything else I want to be free from. Yes, you should seek freedom from everything except God. You're not to be the servant of anything but God. If you're not to be the servant of anything but God, then nothing is to restrict your freedom but God. And I mentioned this great nation. This great nation didn't say it wanted to hold your freedom, didn't say it wanted to have a patent on your freedom. This great nation says it wants its citizens to have freedom. Even freedom to question this nation. And if they get together and decide that the Constitution is not serving them anymore the way it should, they have the power, the Constitution gives them the power to write another one or to do away with that whole Constitution. Now you tell me this ain't a great country? You tell me those weren't great visionaries who put a document, who made a document, and then gave the people the power. Say, this is what we've given you. This is the best we could give you. But anytime you think that this is not serving you, you can take part of it or all of it or do what you want with it. Say, if you have to, scrap the whole thing. Now, by the way, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us the same thing as what he brought. He said, the next one that come may take part of it and may do away with all of it. That's what Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. That man that some of you all ridicule, laugh at, make mockery of. Yeah, that's what he said. And they think they got to stay the way they are. You don't have to stay the way you are. Circumstances, time and circumstances may force you to look at the thing again and see if it has really value, has really purpose, has really value now. If it's lost its value, if it's lost its reality, you have to throw it away, put it aside. And nobody but God can foresee the future enough to say that this is going to last forever and be eternal. Only God can do that. So God gave the revelation of Quran, and of that the Constitution, God says that it will serve us till the judgment, till the end of this world. And we can't change it. God forbid that we change it. We can't add to it. We can't amend it. Can't strap it. No. We have to stick with it. Stick with it just as it is. Word for word. Keep it intact exactly as it is. Because God says it. But when man puts something together, if he's a really an innocent man and a pure man at heart, he will acknowledge that he's not God. And I have no power to give you something that will bind you forever. We think we've given you our best. The Constitution, the design for this land, for this vision of freedom and democracy, we think it's the best. But anytime it doesn't serve you, you have the power. The power is in the people, not in the letter of the Constitution, not in the words of the Constitution. Power is in the people. Rest in the people. Great country. And because of them having that purity, that freedom and vision and purity, they have presented us with something that have lived for over 200 years and look like it's going to live for 200 more years. Look like it's not going to die. In my opinion, it's not going to die. It has life. It has longevity. It has longevity. It's not going to die. But inshallah, we're citizens. When we come to understand the freedom that we have, we're going to be able to serve it better. Serve the Constitution of these United States better. And we're going to be able to serve the future of this country better. So today, on this 4th of July, I want us to make a pledge that we are going to take our great human creation that God has revealed to us. Because God revealed this creation to me. God revealed this great Wallace to me. I didn't know this great Wallace. God revealed this great Wallace to me. I didn't know it. He made great Wallace. And God had it revealed to me, great Wallace. Now I know great Wallace. I can perceive this great Wallace, the one I call my Imam. Yes, I can perceive him. Yes, and he leads me. Yeah, I make mistakes. He leads me. I fail to follow him sometimes the way I should. And I have to ask him to excuse me. Give me another chance. Yes. Because I want to keep friends with Wallace. This Wallace that is my excellence going before me. Yes. I want to keep friends with him. I love him. I want to keep friends with him. Because he is the one that reconciled me with my God. Yes, he did. It was that one in me that reconciled me with Allah. That one said, no, Farad is not enough. No, your father is not enough. Say, keep following me. One day you'll be satisfied. And I kept following the excellence of my own self, that Wallace that leads me. And that Wallace that leads me led me until I was reconciled with my God and became a believer in his Quran, in his messenger Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. To the death. Became a believer to the death. Yes. Oh, yes. So that man in me is my leader. That man in me is my salvation. If I go against that man in me, I go against my own life. I go against my own future, against my own destiny, if I go against that man. So I'm serious when I tell you I follow Imam W.D. Muhammad. I'm very serious when I tell you that. You may call it conscience, but to me it's more than conscience. It's a life that has formed in this body that's the best life I have, and I follow it, and I obey it, because I know it's my salvation. Yes. And you got one in you, too. You call it your conscience, I guess. Well, when I ain't conscious, Wallace is still working for me. This imam that I follow is still working for me when I'm unconscious. Yes, sirree. But I got witnesses. They won't tell you everything. They're afraid you might believe in me too strongly. But I got witnesses. Yes. I thank Allah that Allah has blessed the best of myself to connect with the real truth and reality of things. And I fear nothing but God. And when I put my mind to something, I know that it's going to be successful. Because I don't put my mind to it until God is pleased with it. So my own soul knows that God wants this. Not only pleased with it, that God wants this. Yeah, that's the only reason why I give myself to it. God has to be pleased with it and want this from me. Then I give myself to it. Yes. That's Imam W.D. Muhammad. Yeah. Praise be to Allah. So, in concluding this, we should pledge to live the life of our human excellence, to live the life of our God-given nobility. God has created us noble creatures. God made us noble creatures. And we have to make a pledge that we're going to respect this nobility that God created us for and in. Respect it. And we're not going to shame it. We're not going to abandon it. We're not going to accept anything that takes away its value. And accepting to have slavery instead of freedom is the worst thing we can do. Except that you're going to live a life as a free person, free man, free woman. And you're going to have nothing enslaving you except God. Or nothing dominating your life except God. No. The worst thing you can do to me, if you love me, the worst thing you can do is obey me and not question me. We don't question Allah, but we question everything else. Yes. Don't obey me without questioning me. No, you question me. And obey me only when you feel satisfied that obedience to me is what Allah is pleased with, according to the Quran and according to the life of Muhammad the Prophet, that what you're doing is accepted. So what your obedience to me has to be approved by the Quran and the life of Muhammad. If it's not approved by those two major sources, then your obedience to me is no good. And it hurts me. It doesn't help me. It hurts me. Yes. And this is what we should ask of each other, you know, same thing. Even husband and wife. The wife shouldn't follow the husband like she ain't got no zakir in her nature. God has created her to think and reflect too. Brother, you should give up that beast control over your woman. Yeah, the beast wants that kind of control over a woman. A human being, a thinking man, doesn't want that kind of control over his woman. No. Let your wives think and let them be free to express themselves. And respect them as noble creatures, equal with you in the nobility that God created us for. That's the nobility of intellect. We're only noble because of the human intellect. We wouldn't have this nobility if we didn't have this great human intellect. And if we don't develop it and realize the growth for it, even though we have it, we can't claim that kind of nobility. No. Because we are not allowing ourselves to come into it. God has honored us. Let us not dishonor our own selves after God says he honored us with the great nobility, with the great intellect and great nobility. Say, Kat karamna kulli bani Adam, he has certainly made honorable every descendant of Adam. Every descendant of Adam. Now, if you think of Adam, descendants of Adam, children of Adam, as only this flesh, and don't think of descendants of Adam as bodies that were generated from the Adam himself, and we are products of that Adam in terms of intellect, more so than flesh. Then we miss the whole picture. In terms of intellect, more than flesh, we are the sons of Adam, are the children of Adam. And God says, we all have been honored by him. He honored us. He said we are noble creatures. That's our common humanity, our common nobility. Common humanity from God, given from God, and common nobility, given to us from God, inherent nobility. That means you, every common person, is equally created by God to ascend to the kingship, to the presidency, to whatever, to the president of the bank, to the chairman of the board, whatever. That nobody has been created by God to have less of a future than another. The things that deprive us of having equality or ascending to the heights that we want to ascend is not God restricting us, but people, circumstances restricting us. Given the same circumstances, we all have the same possibilities, the same possibilities. And God doesn't prove that by making a whole people rise above another people. God proved that by taking one person. He took one person, Muhammad. We're going to have a little prayer soon. The one person, Muhammad, he took that one person, and he made that one person a new creation. Made him a new creation. Created him a new creation. How did he create him? He said it. Allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan. He taught Muhammad the Qur'an and created him all over again. Taught Muhammad the Qur'an and created that man all over again. So the man that was just a good man, loved and admired for his human excellence, became a man that they had respect. Now, did they respect him before? No! They didn't respect Muhammad as being a superior intellect. No, they did not. They respect him as being a superior moral being. Superior moral being. But not as a superior intellect. How do we know that? Because they tried to bribe him and do anything to get him not to follow the message, not to follow the revelation, and serve them. Say, we'll give you, what you want, money? We'll give you money. You want the prettiest women we got? We'll give you that. Whatever you want, we'll give it to you if you want these things. So they didn't see him as being qualified to be their chief, the leader over their society. But they saw him as a good man. So they say, well, he wants money, we give it to him. He wants women, we give it to him. What he wants, you know. But God was going to elevate him above the world as an intellect. Not only as a soul and a heart, but also as an intellect. He's going to elevate him above the world. This man that they thought was just ordinary became the man that led the reform, that brought about the reform of their society and the reform of the whole world. Not just their society. Their society and the whole world. A reformation took place that changed the whole life. The whole society was changed by that one man. And that one man became the head of state in his day, in his lifetime.
He was the head of state. And those that thought he weren't qualified, they had to accept the peace terms. Yes, they had to accept the peace terms with him. And his knowledge reigned so high, the knowledge that God gave him, and also his own teachings, reigned so high above the knowledge of that time, that it just erased it so quietly. It just removed all that knowledge and erased it so quietly. And God says that he would teach him himself. Took a common man, God taught him himself, qualified him, and the world had to accept him as their chief, as a top leader. Saudi Arabia, the peninsula, all the land of the Muslims, and eventually the other parts of the world too accepted Muhammad. And right now, the Christians are studying Muhammad. In fact, I think the Catholics are studying Muhammad more than Imams are studying the Muhammad. I'm telling the truth. Yeah. They're studying Muhammad. They're studying Muhammad, our prophet. And they are speaking of him with reverence. With reverence. They don't speak of him in any way except with reverence. Great reverence. Our prophet Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. So who knows what the future will bring? We don't know. We don't know what the future will bring. But right now, I want you to accept that God has favored us in America, and that God has answered all of our people through us. This is the fact. You know, I'm not preaching this to African American Christians, but I want you to know, God has favored all of us African Americans. Through us, who are in Islam, in this association, not in other associations, only in this association. You who are in this association, God is favoring our whole people through us. And nothing great is coming to them that'll be greater than what's going to come to them through us. That's right. Allahu Akbar. And let us be independent. Be independent. Let us be dependent only on Allah. Only on Allah. We depend only on Allah. Is that what we say in our prayer? And on you we depend? Huh? That's how it was translated. On you we depend. And you we seek for help. You we seek for help. Yes. So let us depend only on Allah. Doesn't mean that we are independent of each other. We know Allah help us. But what that means is that we put no authority above Allah. And we don't limit ourselves for anyone except God. God is the only one that can restrict our progress, our freedom. God is the only one that can master our mind, rule over our thoughts. Only God. That's what it means. And when you accept that, you're independent. But let me tell you what has to come with that in order for you to really be free and independent, truly free and independent. Appreciation for good wherever you find it. See, Allah, you can give yourself in obedience to Allah, but Allah won't let you be free until you become appreciative. And that appreciation has to be sincere, and it has to be pure. It's not pure if you appreciate what your friend is, or has, or received from God, or from the world, or whatever. But the person you don't like, you know, you can't say, I appreciate the good that he gained. I appreciate the achievements that he's made. Now, I tell you the truth, I'm not in love with white people. That's the truth. I'm not in love with them, but I don't hate them. I don't hate them. That's the truth. I do not hate any people. I do not hate white people. I'm not in love with white people. I'm in love with Allah, in love with His Messenger, in love with the Quran, in love with W.D. Muhammad, my leader. But I'm not in love with white folks. Now, this may surprise you, I ain't in love with black folks here. I'm not. But I appreciate excellence and goodness wherever I see it. I don't care who it is. I don't particularly, feel too good about the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia either. But I appreciate every good that they've done. I admire them for using their oil money and developing that country like that, the way they have developed it, and making all the material improvements they have made, and in serving Islam as they have served Islam and are serving Islam, and giving charity around the world, in Africa and many other places. And I appreciate that, you know. So don't let your opinion of a people cause you to swerve from doing justice by them. This is the Quran again. That's Allah in the Quran. Do justice by everybody, you know. And when we can become free enough in our souls, in our hearts and our souls, to say the white man has really outstripped everybody. As an organized people. And that's a fact. As an organized people, they've gone ahead of everybody. So we don't be uncomfortable with that. Be comfortable with that. You can't change it. So why be uncomfortable? Really, that's a tribute to your common excellence. It's a tribute to the common excellence of man. So that's how I take it. White man able to achieve this great society, great wealth, great political influence in the world, and believe me, America has it. Yes, able to achieve that, then that, to me, that's a tribute to what God created me for. That's a tribute to my human excellence. So I have the same humanity, hang human nature he has. And my human capacity and human potential was given to me by God like his. It's the same. God put it in one entity called Adam. And it breathed out and it went out and it spread and multiplied all over the world. So in terms of racism, race and racism, that's the white man. In terms of achievements for the human intellect, that's the human man. And the human man is myself. So I congratulate the white man. That's the human man that achieved that in the white man. The human man and the white man have made those wonderful achievements. And that's the same human man that's in me. If I get enough freedom, maybe I'll match him. Who knows? Maybe one day I'll surpass him. Who knows? But in the meantime, I'm going to applaud him and cheer him on. I don't want him to slow down, because whatever he achieves it in my name, in the name of the humanity of the common man, because he can't get it without that humanity. Huh? Yes, I'm going to cheer him on. I don't want him to slow down, no. Slow down for me to catch up? No, man, don't slow down for me to catch up. Run as fast as you can. But I'm on your tail, buddy. And I'm a free man in this town. Praise be to Allah. So it won't be long. It won't be long. I don't think so. Yes. This 4th of July, very significant day, Mr. Farad, Deputy Farad, he said he came July the 4th, 1930. Yes, you know it. That's right. Yeah, he said he came July the 4th, 1930. What's the meaning of that? You know, when we were in that old arrogant mind of the black man, you know, thinking ourselves super and God and all that, superior in God, you know, we said, came to break the independence. Came to break the independence of this wicked world. So he came right on that Independence Day. Meaning, putting an end to that independence. No, that's not what it means at all. Mr. Farad was not that kind of man. What does it really mean? He's saying to us, see, Farad, W.D. Farad, or W.F. Farad, or W. Farad Muhammad, however you want to call him, yeah, he called himself by a different name. This man, whatever he said to us, he also said something to the white man. At the same time, I don't care what he said to us, he never spoke to us without also speaking to the white man. So when he said, I come on July the 4th, 1930, He's saying something to us, and he's saying something to the white man. He's saying to the white man, you celebrate your Independence Day while holding a people from their own freedom and independence. That's what he's saying to them. So I come in your day, in your time, I come upon your claim. I'm coming upon your own claim. And I'm going to work to break these people from this grip that you have on them so they will one day be able to celebrate, too, Independence Day. Freedom and independence. Yes, so that's his thinking. That's his message to them. And what is his message to us now? His message to us is just this. One day I hope you will have the blessed with the vision, the insight, to see what I really wanted for you. And if you're blessed with it, you'll see that I want for you the same thing that the people who freed you promised you. A mule and 40 acres. Mule and 40 acres. Now, what is the mule saying? He didn't say mule. The people who freed us said mule. Mule means a dummy. A stubborn, no-sense person. No education and stubborn. Okay? So that's the way the master saw us, you know. The black man, he got no dollars, but he's stubborn. So I'm going to free him. And freedom is 40 acres. Means all that is within your nature to achieve, you can achieve it. 40. Yeah, 40. Just 40. We believe that everything that we can achieve for ourselves, God gave it to us in four measures. In four measures. 40 means you become conscious of that. 40 just means you become conscious of that. You become conscious of your inherent ability, your inherent nature and ability to achieve. You become conscious of it. So giving us 40 acres means, see, acres is a play on ache, means to hurt. Ache means to hurt. I got a headache, you see? So acres is a play on ache. In their mind, so you weren't there, how do you know what they were thinking? The logic tells me. Yeah, so in their mind, they're saying, well, he ain't got nothing but hard times coming. He ain't got nothing but aches coming. So we're going to free him with his mule head. We're going to free him to realize whatever God has created him for. That's that 40. That's that 40 acres. Whatever God has created him for, he's free to realize it. 40 acres. But it's going to be a lot of hurting because he got a mule head. Farad didn't put us down like that. Farad, he lifted us up. He exaggerated even our worth, our powers, etc. He exaggerated it. So he didn't put us down, he lifted us up. But he's saying on by the 4th of July, he's saying to the wise that will one day have vision to see, look into his language. He's saying to them that God has created you for full development. 7 is a whole number too. Not in the world, but in scriptural language. 7 is a whole number. It's the whole. It represents a whole. 7. So if God has created you for your whole possibilities. The 7th. July. And the fourth means that when your desire to see your development, the appetite to realize your development starts in you, starts living and working in you, inside the 7, because the 4th is inside the 7. When the 4 begins to work inside the 7, inside your spiritual life and nature that God created for you, to realize your full potential, your full goal as a person, creation, when that 4 starts to develop there, that will be your independence. That will be your independence. And that's what true independence is. When I have the appetite in me to realize the full possibilities for my creation, that's real freedom. That's real independence. And I'm not going to let anything interfere with that. I'm not going to let anything hold me back or deny me that. I'm going to bow only to God, as one Jew said a few years ago. I'm going to bow my knees only to God. And I'm going to reach my destiny, my destination. I'm going to reach my full potential as a creation of God. When that appetite is in us and moving in us, that's the beginning of our freedom, real freedom. That's the beginning of our real independence. And we will have real independence if we keep living with that appetite and keep growing within the, I would say, the context of life that God wants for us. That's the setting, the whole context of the life that God wants for us. And we will have it. So we're in that now. We're in that. Allah blessed us. God blessed us to strain with our minds and our hearts and souls, our nature, strain until we came into our real life. Now that straining and struggling and straining have brought us into our real life. So now we are ascending the ladder of the seven heavens. We're ascending. And we are striving to realize our full possibilities on this earth before, in the real earth before. We are striving to realize our full possibilities. And thank God some of us have become conscious of this dynamics in the human soul and intellect. We have become dynamism in the human soul and intellect. We have become conscious of it. We are conscious of it. We know exactly what we're looking at. We are conscious of it. So we are 40 years old. Oh, yes. We are 40 years old. God has blessed us to live. And we are 40 years old. And all the thing we need in this particular stage of our development is God's light, His guidance. And we have that, the Quran and Muhammad, the leader, the universal leader. So you tell me something can stop us from achieving? Nothing. Nothing. I could wake up tomorrow, I'll be interrupted tonight in my sleep, and hear on the radio or television that something has developed in some part of the world, or they've discovered something out of space, and the United States, as you have known it, does not exist anymore. I would say, well, as one start that's going to be starting to exist tomorrow morning when I get a chance to call up a few brothers. Yes, I'll get on the phone and right then or in the morning, and we'll start another one right away. I'm telling you what I know. Yeah, you can put me anywhere. Put me anywhere on this earth. No people there, no government, nothing. Put me out there. With what I know, we'll organize, and pretty soon we'll have the same good government life back. Yes. But thank God we don't have to start from the Genesis, day one in Genesis, you know. We got a great, great world, a great world and a great progress already made for humans, for human excellence. All we have to do is come in this and contribute our best and keep our mind on our purposes. That's another thing we have to do. We lose purpose. We lose sight on the goal. We lose sight on the goal. We lose a perception of where the importance is, of where the importance lies. Don't ever do that. When we say Allahu Akbar, that's to train us to always realize where the importance is. God is more important than everything. That's what we say when we say Akbar. God is Akbar. We mean He's bigger, greater, more important than everything. Well, we have to be able to have a meeting like this, come together like this. And we come here, we want to keep our mind on what's the more important. We keep our mind on what's more important. When we leave here, we have achieved something. But if we come here and let our mind slip and drift from what is more important, start thinking about the banquet tonight, or start thinking about some new interest we have separately, we'll lose sight of what is more important. But it's more important that we come out of here knowing more of our productive and resourceful people with skills and professions, with track records. Don't just tell me you have knowledge, you went to school and you have to... No, what have you managed? What do you own? What have you managed? Show me a track record. So that's what we want, and then we want to put these people in front, And then the others, maybe they have, in the future, they'll prove maybe more productive than these. But we don't know that because they don't have a track record. They don't have ownership of something and can show us that they have owned it and ran it successfully for 5 years, you know? They don't have that. So we can't put them in the very important place right now. We have to put the one who has proven themselves in the more important place. And then the others, you support us. And show us by your support that you belong here too. And in time, your contributions may cause us to say, hey, you should be in front. But it can't be on what you claim. No. We have a few minutes to prepare for prayer. So I'm going to bring this to a close, and I hope that you'll celebrate the 4th of July from now on. Not just for fireworks and hot dogs and ball playing. Celebrate it in the name of the independence and freedom for the individual person. The freedom and independence that God created us for. And then that fireworks will have more meaning, huh? Yeah. The fireworks will have more meaning and everything. The ball playing and the hot dog eat, all everything will have more meaning. Thank you. We ask Allah to forgive us for our errors. Have mercy on us always. And guide us. Amen.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-201-9692. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.